What is a steward? A steward is someone who has been entrusted with the possessions of another. A steward is someone who has been entrusted with the possessions of another.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of What We Do Here Matters. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of What We Do Here Matters.
And who is the judge there? I'm the judge and the Holy Spirit, right? Me and the Holy Spirit get alone, and we begin to examine my life, and we begin to look at my life, and I begin to say, Lord, let me give myself away. And that's the judgment of my life. And so that's in the present. In the past, I was judged as a sinner. In the present, God looks at me as a child. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, the children of God, even to them that believed on his name. And so in the present, I bring my life every day before the Father and the Holy Spirit, and we go through this process where I want the Lord, if I have sin in my life, Lord, cleanse the sin that's in my life. Lord, if I want to be able to commune with you, Lord, I want to be able to just walk with you, and that's in the present. So let me show you what's ahead of us one day. And that is, if you go to that next slide, in the future. In the past, you were judged as a sinner. In the present, you are judged as a son. But in the future, you're going to be judged as a steward. That you're going to have to give an account of the life that you've lived here on this earth. What is the judgment? Oh, watch this now. I love this. Stay with me. That in the past, my sins were judged. In the present, my life is judged. But praise God, in the future, my service will be judged. All right? Now, let me say this. That you will never have to give an account for your sin. Once you come to Christ, you'll never have to give an account for your sin again. Now, your sin might affect your service, so in that regard, you may have to give an account. But I mean, as far as your sins were concerned, Jesus took all your sins when he died at Calvary, and his blood covered all your sins, so that when you stand before God in the future, that when you stand before God, that you will not have to give an account for your sin. Now, you will have to give an account for your service. And sin might have affected your service, so in that regards, you will have to give an account of your sin. But when I stand before Christ, I'm going to stand before him, and he's going to ask me, you know, what I did with my what? Time, talent, treasure, and gift. That's what he's going to know. What did you do with the service that I gave you? So where is this place at? This place is at the judgment seat. And who is the judge there? There's only one judge at the judgment seat, and that is Jesus Christ. So if we think about it, again, keep this in mind, right? In the past, a sinner; present, a son; in the future, a servant, a steward. So that's how we are going to be judged. Now let's begin to look at this future judgment, because again, when I start to teach in depth on these time, talent, and treasures, that, you know, we're going to understand that one day we're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to have to give an account for him. So let's look at a couple verses here. We already looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. And let's look at Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. Actually, let's go back to verse 11. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us, Paul says to the church of Rome, every one of us shall give account of himself unto God. Every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. So if you go to that next slide, here is what's called the Bema. B-E-M-A, the Bema. And the concept here is there's an elevated platform, and on the platform was a judge, all right? And the judge sat up on the platform and watched those who competed in the race or whatever Olympic activity there was. And one of the jobs of the judge, oh, watch this now, was to make sure that everybody competed lawfully, make sure that they competed according to the rules. You know, Paul talks about this in other places, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 through 27. He talks about that. So he would make sure they competed according to the rules. And after the event, the participants would come and stand before the Bema, and the judge would reward them according to their efforts, their works. And, you know, Paul talked about the fact that they got a wreath, right? Let's look at that. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. That when they stood before this Bema, First Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. He says, know you not that they who run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. So he says, run in the race, that whatever it is, with your time, talent, treasure, and gifts, run in the race. What's your gift? What gift has God given? What natural ability has God given you? What are you doing with your time that God has given you? What are you doing with your treasures that God has given you? What are you doing with your spiritual gift that God has given you? He says, run in a race that you may be rewarded for whatever it is. If you sing in the choir, right, you are using your natural ability, and that might be combined with your spiritual gift if it's in the gift of serving. But you sang this morning, you are running in a race, right? You aren't just singing, and I know that you are singing to glorify God. I understand that. And there's that should be our sole motive, you know, for singing to glorify God. That should be the purpose that where our heart is at. You know, if you ushered this morning, you know, your heart should have been to usher unto God. But my brothers and sisters, the fact of the matter is that you are in a race. You are. Thank you for that back there. The amen corner. All right. You were in a race, all right? This building that's going up, you know, everybody that's participating in the energy and effort of the building going up, you're in a race, all right? If you taught Sunday school or Life Quest this morning, you were in a race. Whatever service that you render unto the Lord, you are in a race. And he says, run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate. Every man that runs in the race is disciplined. That's what that word temperate means. Is disciplined in all things. Now, look what he says here. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. So what is he saying there? That at these Isthmian games, where they came and they stood before the Bema seat, they would take a wreath made of laurel, and plant, and they would weave it into a crown, all right? I'm not going to mess up the plants, Tony, so you don't have to worry about it. All right, just weave it into a crown, and then they would put it on the person's head, right? So let me ask you a question. After about a month, what would happen to this? It would wilt, it would wilt away. And so it was actually what? A corruptible crown. So Paul says that those who run in the Isthmian games, he said that they do it for a corruptible crown, one that's one day going to, you know, crumble up, it's going to wilt, it's going to dry. But notice what he says. He says, but you do it for what? An incorruptible crown. That the crown that you're running for, that you sang for this morning, that you ushered for this morning, that you shoveled the sidewalk for this morning, that you gave in the offering for this morning, that is an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth against the air. He said, I'm not out here shadow boxing. You know, that when you sang this morning, you landed some punches. There were some people that said amen. There were some people whose hearts were ministered to. That when you smiled at somebody coming in this morning and that made them feel a little bit better, that was a punch that landed, right? That if you taught a lesson this morning and somebody was helped and understood something from the Bible, you were a pow! That landed a punch, right? Paul said, I'm not out here shadow boxing now. He said, I'm not out here just beating against the air. He said, I'm out to land a punch. And so what do we need to be doing with our time, talent, treasure, and gifts? We need to be landing punches with them, right? We need to be landing punches. And so look, he says in verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, right? That means discipline. You know, I keep under my body. In the Greek, it literally means that I punch myself, or figuratively, I punch myself under the eye, all right? And so what is he saying? He's saying that, you know, what's in me is this spirit, this old man that's in me that wants to come up and wants to do the wrong thing. And so what did Paul say? He said, I discipline myself. And every day I got to what? I got to beat that old rascal down, right? I got to keep it from telling me what to do. And I got to tell it what to do. Why? Because what I do here matters in eternity. What I do here, Paul realized that. What I do here matters in eternity. And notice how he concluded this precope. He says, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I should myself become a castaway. And that word castaway doesn't mean that he's going to be put out on a desert island somewhere. But you know what it means? It means to be unapproved. That after I've done all this, and then I fail to exercise discipline, that I myself will be a castaway. I will be unapproved, a dokimazo. That my life, when I stand before Christ, that, yeah, I'll be saved. Yeah, I'll stand before Christ saved, but I will actually have lived a life that's, in the end, that's not approved before God. Paul realized what we do here matters. Let me wind down with 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 11 through 13. What we do here matters in eternity. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So what he's saying here, that the foundation of life is Jesus Christ. The foundation of your spiritual life is Jesus Christ. That when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you laid the right foundation. That was the right foundation. And now you got something to build on. You know, if anybody, you can go out and do all kind of good works. You can give millions of dollars to, you know, save the whales, and you can, you know, give millions of dollars to this, and you can go out and serve all that, but you're doing it all on the wrong foundation. Yeah, it's a good thing to have philanthropists in our country and in our world. We thank God for the philanthropists, and they do good work. I'm going to say that, but let me say this. It's the wrong foundation. It's the wrong foundation. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, what foundation? Jesus Christ. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble. All right, so there's different things that you can build upon. You're a Christian, right? You're a Christian. You got the right foundation. Now you're in this ministry, or you're serving in this capacity. Now, as you serve, as you live your life, you're either doing it with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble. That's what you're building with upon this foundation. Every man's work shall be made manifest. All right, so it's going to be revealed, right? Right. If you're building with gold, silver, precious stone, that's going to be revealed. If you're building with wood, hay, or stubble, it's going to be revealed. Every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it. It shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. And if any man's work abide which he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward. Wait a minute, Pastor Glaze, I'm just serving because I love God. I love God, and I just want to serve God. That's great. And keep that motive. Don't let that motive ever leave your heart. Let that be in the center of everything that you do. But realize that as you serve God with all your heart, and as you serve God out of pure love, that the Bible says right here, Pastor Glaze didn't put this in. You know, this is what the Bible says, that you shall receive a reward. Okay? You shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved as by fire. And notice that it says he shall be saved, and it says yet as by fire. Actually, the Greek, it says through the fire. So that means that your salvation is not going to burn up, that when you stand before the Bema seat of Christ, that your salvation is not going to burn up. But what's going to burn up? Your works. If they have been done in a shady way. All right. So what we do will follow us. If you go to that next slide. What we do will follow us. Our works and deeds will be tested by fire. Now, you know, I don't want to get into a debate back and forth. Is there going to be a literal fire? You know, are works, are there going to be literal works and there going to be a literal fire? Okay, well, this is what the Bible says, and I know a lot of people take that figuratively, but let's put it this way. Whether you take it literally or whether you take it figuratively, watch this. It's the same result. It's the same result. So however you want to take it, as you sit there today, you take it how you will, but it's the same result. That some way God got some way of looking at our works and testing them and to see whether or not they are genuine. And that as we read in Revelation about the tribulation saints, that their works do follow them. Their works do follow them. Now, there's a quote, and I'm going to, I got one more slide after this, but I'm going to end this before I show this last slide and say something about this slide. And that is a quote by John MacArthur. Now, I don't agree with everything John MacArthur says, but, you know, 99.9% of the time, I feel that he hits it right. So he was commenting on this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and he says this. He said, we build. So it says what? The right foundation, Jesus Christ. You build upon it, wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, all right? He said, we build by our motives. Why do we do a thing as important as what we are doing? All right. Why we're doing it is even as important as what we're doing. A campaign of neighborhood visitation done because of the compulsion is wood. Because somebody compulsed you to do it. You it wasn't in your heart to do it, but you just went and did it because somebody, you know, made you shamed you. Made you feel bad. And so you went and did it because of that. But it wasn't in your heart to do it. And even while you were doing it, you know, you didn't put your heart into it. He says, that's wood. But visiting the same people in love to win them to the Lord is gold. Mm-hmm. Singing a solo in church and being concerned about how the people like our voice is hay. But singing to glorify the Lord is silver. Giving generously out of duty or pressure from men is straw. But giving generously with joy to extend the gospel and to serve others in the name, in the Lord's name, is a precious stone. Work that on the outside looks like gold to us may be hay in God's eyes. He knows the motives of men's heart. That whenever you do something, that God knows your heart, and he knows what heart you're doing it out of. And so as we go through this series on the time, talent, and treasure, you know, we want to get you to line your heart up with your actions, and that your heart would be out of a love for God, out of a desire to see ministry go forth. You know, even as you look at spiritual gifts, you know, somebody says that, you know, spiritual gifts, you know, I use my spiritual gift to help me do this or help me do that. No, if you look at spiritual gifts are for one thing, and they're for the others. You can't find a spiritual gift that's for self. I mean, in its true essence, every spiritual gift is to benefit somebody else. So if I've got a spiritual gift and I'm using it to benefit myself, you can mark it down. You can mark it down. That's wood, hay, or stubble. Because every spiritual gift is to benefit the body of Christ. And I'll sit down with you and we can go through the spiritual gifts and I can show you from the Word of God where spiritual gifts are for others and not for you. And I know some people don't agree with that now. But let's be biblical. You know, we Bethany, we get ready to change our name to Bethany Bible Baptist. No, just kidding. All right, you know, let's be biblical now and realize that if we have a gift, it's not for us. It's to be utilized in the body of Christ, all right? And so what we do now matters in eternity. So if you go to that last one, and I'm done, where will you be on Judgment Day? So again, whether we take these literally or figuratively, you know, the reality is probably more significant than the picture, all right? The reality is more significant than the picture. Will you be at the judgment seat of Christ? And I got into a discussion with somebody that didn't agree with me on this, but again, let's sit down and let's be biblical. The fact is that if you are a Christian, this is the only judgment that you'll be at in the future. The great white throne judgment is for unbelievers. It's for people that don't know Christ. So I've heard Christians say, well, I just hope that I'm right when I stand at the great white throne. No, I don't want to be at the great white throne. You know, I'm not going to be at the great white throne. I'm going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, where I'm going to give an account as a servant, as a steward, right? People who stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I mean the great white throne, they give an account as sinners. See, they have never given an account for their sin. Our sin has been accounted for at Calvary. Amen. I thought I'd get a louder amen than that. Amen. All right. Amen. Our sins have been accounted for at Calvary. Right? And so we don't have to be at the other one because the great white throne, that's where people are going to give account for their sin. So if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will stand at the Bema seat and give an account. And so when you give an account, it will be as a steward for your time, talent, treasure, and spiritual gifts.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Stewardship Time. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, What We Do Here Matters, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request What We Do Here Matters. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request What We Do Here Matters. Or call us at 877-831-5400. 5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sadia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.